Good afternoon. I just wanted to say I'm honored to be here in the presence of so many public health nurses that have made a great difference, and they're truly inspiring for me. So this has been a great experience, and I hope I can share a little bit of my information today. So I'm a senior nursing student, and the research that I'm going to present this afternoon will be about participant observation and my role as a participant observer in the qualitative research studies, such as focus groups. So this is just a piggyback onto of Melissa's presentation. So there will be a bit of repetition, but I'll try to add new information. And I would like to thank the following members of this research team that are in the crowd: Barb Plouffe, who served as the Salish Kootenai community partner; Melissa Grandchamp, who already spoke and is a nurse practitioner graduate student; and last but not least, Dr. Kuntz, my incredible advisor. So the purpose of my research in this environmental health conference was to gather observations of conference attendees at the Pediatric Environmental Health Conference titled Babies in the Environment. These observations included social, cultural, contextual, and relational aspects. This conference also enabled me to develop a greater understanding about the culture of rural healthcare providers in Montana. At this conference, there was a mixture of tribal and non-tribal members, which was a fairly accurate representation of the Flathead Reservation at large. The Flathead Reservation is unique in that it's an open reservation, so there are tribal members and non-tribal members coexisting. Little background here. I received two grants from the Undergraduate Scholars Program through Montana State University. And the first grant was funded to perform a literature review about talking circles and focus groups and actively contribute to the Pediatric Environmental Health Conference by serving as a participant observer. And I'll define that role a little later on. The second grant I just received will be used to research prenatal interventions to increase postnatal outcomes. In the literature review that I conducted last semester, I concentrated on the similarities and differences of talking circles and focus groups. So the conference was held at a resort on the Flathead Reservation this past January. And like Melissa mentioned, there were 100 attendees. They had a varying backgrounds of expertise, ranging from sanitarians to county health department public health nurses to medical professionals. The methods utilized in this study followed a community-based participatory research approach, and the data I collected as a participant observer includes field notes, maps, and seating diagrams. So I like this quote. I feel like it encaptures the true role of a participant observer and why they're necessary in qualitative research. It states, "There is no substitute for witnessing or participating in phenomena of human interaction. Interaction with other people, with places, with things." And this table I formatted just to really compare and contrast the advantages and disadvantages of using a participant observer in qualitative research. One of the main advantages is that there's added insight provided, which audio files cannot capture. So audio files do a really great job at obviously recording the information, but that's just one small snippet of an actual qualitative research. There's also increased cultural awareness, which happens naturally when you're just serving the role as a participant observer and interacting with the community. You possibly learn more about the community because although you could ask questions in an interview, sometimes you fail to ask the right questions, so you don't get the right answers. And when you serve as a participant observer, you might, on a roundabout way, get the right answers that you're looking for. And thirdly, the influence of the physical environment. So the environment and the people in which you're observing influence each other. And that's often failed, or that's often missed in audio files. Disadvantages of a participant observer is that the observations can be quite subjective. And that's really something you need to be aware of if you're playing the role of a participant observer, because your observations need to be objective as possible, but that's hard because we tend to put our own spin on our opinion on the actual observations we make. And there's a bit of deception of informed consent of the participants. So although at this conference I sat around those tables, the pictures that you've seen, and introduced myself, I said, hi, my name's Ann Hansen. I'm serving as a researcher on this team, and I'm a participant observer today, so I'll be having conversations with you, but I also will be taking notes, so don't mind me, I'll just be over here writing all the time. And it's time intensive, so this role of a participant observer is not limited to a one-day conference. A participant observer could be used for an unlimited amount of time to actually gain true cultural knowledge. This table was, the first two columns was completed by Mac and colleagues, and I added my own observations in the third column. I really like this table format because it provides information, or it allows the participant observer to add observations on some things they would fail to recognize. And so this is already laid out. Appearance, verbal behavior, gestures, personal space, human traffic, people who stand out. And I'll talk about this a little later, but as a participant observer, you enter an environment with a preconceived notion of what's important, and those what you think is important tends to be what you write observations about. So this table format helps you to make a complete observation of the setting. So further observations are divided into three categories, which include facilitators, participant demographics, and the environment. Although all focus group facilitators were given guidelines for the focus group process and the role of the facilitator was clearly identified, the focus group interaction varied due to the facilitator's background, demographic, and experiencing moderating, thus possibly influencing the result of the participants. Secondly, participant demographics varied. Each member had a different motive for attending the conference, and like I already mentioned, there was a diverse group of healthcare providers, thus their background and professional expertise influenced their decisions. Lastly, culturally, there were a mix of tribal and non-tribal attendees, and your culture will influence opinions stated. And the third factor result I'll mention on is the environment. And the environment, as Mulhall stated, quote, observations are made of people behavior, but data about the physical environment seldom are collected. So some observations I made about the environment at the conference was that there was lighting the entire time. Often in conference rooms, it'll be dim, and the lights were left on for all presentations, so this possibly helped the audience connect with the presenter more, and also, I think, hopefully kept them awake. And there was a casino, because this was on an Indian reservation, there was a casino that still had smoking. And this seemed quite ironic, since it was an environmental health conference that stressed the harmful effects of smoking. The tables were also very close to one another, and this proximity of tables between focus groups could possibly skew results due to eavesdropping. So the last section of results is in the literature, a literature review that I performed. So Mack and colleagues state participant observation is a qualitative research method with roots in traditional ethnographic research, whose objective is to help researchers learn the perspectives learned by study populations. The next author is Wolfinger. He states that the researcher's tacit knowledge and expectations often play a major role in determining which observations are worthy of annotation. And the last author, Mulhall, states, how the field is conceptualized will influence researchers' assumptions and practices within it. Mulhall also further divides observational data into two categories. So you have organized data, which would be like an interview, and unorganized data, which is a participant observer role. So if I were to repeat this role as a participant observer, there are a couple of changes that I would suggest to the researchers. The first one is to conduct a training session for your participant observers. I entered this conference with very little knowledge about qualitative research. I had a little bit of experience with focus groups, but I had never heard the term participant observer until about a month before the conference. So my role was really just my conceived role of what I was going to do at the conference was just based on on the research that I did before. I would also increase the quantity of participant observers, which would invalidate data. If one participant observer had a similar observation or remark as another one, that might help find trends within the observation. And additionally, more research is needed to increase nursing researchers' perceived value of fill notes. So participant observation provides additional data points in the iterative mixed methods process that leads to a better understanding of the community's perspective on public health issues. Participant observers enhance qualitative data by providing additional perspectives. So thank you. Yes.
I just wanted to comment on the, I think it's a really important point that you brought up about the facilitator and their background and their training, because as we talked about a little bit at lunch, my own research found that to be very true, and obviously that person affects the flow of the whole group. And so as you present this, I would just encourage you to keep reminding people of that, because sometimes they just, there's different reasons to have different facilitators. Really important point.
Sure.
So, well done.
Thanks.
So, in terms of the focus groups and what you saw, and what would you do different about the conference in the future? In light of the tribal, non-tribal
Sure. I think how the groups were selected was a good strategy. They were selected to try to provide, like Melissa mentioned, a vast array of experiences, backgrounds, levels, or years of experience. And I think that was beneficial because it provided a lot of information, different information, but that also possibly influenced other opinions within the focus groups. So if someone is there with 10 years of environmental health experience, they may speak more and may feel more comfortable talking in that focus group than, say, the nurse who's just been practicing for a year or two and has no working knowledge of environmental health. I think I would also try to increase the area between the focus groups and having more participant observers, and I think possibly right after the focus group, having kind of a debriefing session with the participant observer, making sure that it's hard, like I mentioned, that it's not subjective, so opinions might be made if you combine them together. They might provide, kind of validate one another and then think that that's completely right. So I guess you would have to be careful with that, but it would be helpful.
So in light of what you also know about talking to people and how they're like or what their about, do you think it would have been possible data could have been collected in a better way.
Sure.
If we had used a talking circle instead of
focus. Sure. And so the question was, do you think if we would have used a focus or a talking circle instead of a focus group at this conference, would have that helped with gathering data or changed the data, I guess? And that was part of the literature review that I did this past semester, was looking at, there actually have been applications of focus groups for like drug therapy, different in Western type research. But I guess personally, and this is just my opinion, I would question the application of a talking circle because it's not Western based, and really it's a lot of listening and it has a slower pace than what a talking circle does. So for the field of academia, focus groups are really key because they you can get acquire a lot of information in a short amount of time. But I think it would be really interesting to do a talking circle if you had more time and if people were familiar with the role of a talking circle.
I have a question too.
Sure.
I want to know, all right, so you're an undergraduate student, and that got you thrown into this research. In a lot of places, you know, people don't think you're not qualified. Did you feel like a researcher? How did it change your attitude towards research?
Sure. I think this was the best way to learn how to do research. I really did feel like I was thrown into the fire in the beginning, but I'm so passionate about research now and about public health from experiencing it myself that I think it's probably one of the most influential ways to teach students about research and public health by experiencing it firsthand, which I know would be hard to apply if you had 60 nursing students, but the more that they can actually experiencing that and see the real life application of it, it's that much more powerful, I think.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Gobs of time. Does anybody have any questions for any of the presenters? If not, may you take a nap between now and 4:30, I think, when the next round starts. I mean, you can do a power nap and that would be fun. We have had one participant that has napped throughout and well. So thank you for attending and